Oh, man. Praise the Lord. I like worshiping. I like praising. Amen. But I also need, let me underscore that, capital letters. Slant it sideways just a little bit. Amen. I need to hear the preaching of the word of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brother Dyke is going to come to give your liberty. Say something good about Jesus, will you? God bless you. Love you.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. It's always good to have an opportunity to share what the Lord's put on my heart. Amen. And I want to go to the Word today. If I could get my... Amen. I want to go to the Word today. Like Pastor, I'm preaching with these notes from this iPad. And sometimes it's called technological interference. If we could just get that out of the way. I want to go to the Word of the Lord. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Acts 20:28 should be a very well-known scripture to you as a one God apostolic. It says this: Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Lord Jesus, I come to you today asking you, God, to reveal to us, Lord Jesus, reveal to us, Lord, from your word, how you feel, Lord, about us, Lord Jesus, how much it cost you, Lord God, oh Lord Jesus, and what your plan and your purpose is for our lives today, Jesus. God, we thank you and praise you, Lord God, for another opportunity to hear you speak your word today. And Lord Jesus, let it touch our hearts. Let it find root, Lord Jesus, in our minds and our hearts, Lord God, and save our souls, Lord Jesus. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you today about the real tabernacle. The real tabernacle. Amen. See, there was such a value placed on the soul that any old offering could not do. And there were many offerings that were given, many sacrifices that were given throughout time, through the Old Testament. And there was a real sacrifice, that a real cost to each family when they brought their sacrifices and their offerings, and what it really cost to follow the plan of the Lord. And we heard at the men's retreat that many times, or all the time, sacrifice is disguised as a blessing. God blesses sacrifice. He does. And the people of Israel were blessed. But Romans 14:17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." The kingdom is not that tangible animal or sacrifice at all. It's not meat, it's not drink, but there was a goal, there was a purpose. There was a reason God wanted them to experience all of that. And we're the beneficiaries today. We have the real. We have the Holy Ghost. We have righteousness. We have peace. And we have joy because God's Spirit is within us. But that Old Testament, it serves something. It serves a purpose. It brings us closer to the Lord. It brings us and teaches us something. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 5 says it like this. It says, "Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount." There was an emphasized importance of following the pattern. God told Moses over and over again in the book of Exodus, Make sure you follow the pattern. It was so important because God didn't want to just set any old precedents. God didn't want it to be something where you can kind of like follow this but not follow that. It wasn't about being wishy-washy, or it wasn't about being some sort of, you know, it was optional. No, no, no. This was to serve the pattern of things in the heavens. It was so important. And so in the law, it's mentioned a few times directly to Moses that they make it according to the pattern. Why? Because it was a shadow of something eternal. Something that was set in the heavens. Amen. In verse 6, continuing on, he says, "But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises." The Lord Jesus Christ was not the shadow. He wasn't just another substitute. He wasn't just another example. But he was the real. He was the real high priest. He was the real sacrifice, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Amen. And then it gives us a reason why all of the shadows were ineffective and not powerful. It says, verse 7, Hebrews 8, 7, "For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." What was that covenant? That covenant was that I'm going to be their God, and they're going to be my people. My spirit will I give them, and I will write the word on their hearts, not on tables of stone, not on those old stone tables that could be broken and like Moses broke them out of frustration, but something that's written permanently on the innermost man. Amen. In the heart. Amen. Something that you can't just hold. Amen. Yes, we hold this Bible as precious. The Word of God is precious to us. But it's not just precious to us because it's written on the pages of this book. It's precious to us because we treasure them in our heart. We treasure God's very Word in our hearts and in our minds. Why? Because it saved us. Amen. It gave us hope when we didn't have hope. It turned the light of God on our life. Amen. And it changed our life. Amen. It's the greater promises. Amen. It's the greater covenant that's spoken of in Scripture. I know that I'm going kind of fast here, and you could take a whole semester of Bible college about this, right? But this is so powerful to me. Because it's not as though those Old Testament shadows are for nothing. They teach us. They lead us. The tabernacle was a shadow to lead us to the real Jesus, the real sacrifice, the real high priest. And all the blood of those sacrifices, they only served as a temporary atonement. When it came to salvation of the church of God, he purchased it with his own blood. In fact, in Scripture, it's the only thing that God ever purchased. Amen. When he tells those kingdom parables, amen. Yes, they serve it as an example. You have the pearl of great price. You have the treasure in a field. They serve as an example of how we are supposed to respond to the gospel. But it also serves as an example of how Jesus feels about his church, his bride. How Jesus feels about you and I. Because when he found you, he gave everything. He sold it all. And he purchased you with his own precious blood. Hallelujah. Yes, that deserves praise and worship. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That was the value God placed on the church. So it is precious to Him. It's the apple of His eye. Amen. And, you know, we look at the church and we think about it as this building. Sometimes, you know, especially if you're not in the church, you think of it as just a place where people gather to maybe have church, worship the Lord, speak the word of God. But the church is not the building. The church is the people. It's you and I. And we've got to have that important. Yes, we come to a building to collectively gather together. This is the place where we've agreed as a corporate body to come and have prayer meetings, have Bible study on Wednesday night. Amen. To come and hear the word of the Lord. Amen. And worship together. And then we also gather and we eat together. And I know I'm standing between you and a bowl of chili. But that can wait. We've got to not just have church, we've got to be the church. We've got to have the Spirit of God to move within this place where we cause and where we gather together. We've got to have a change and a move of the Spirit of the Lord. Or else we're just gathering like a gun club can gather, or like a, you know, name it, you name it. Anybody can gather together. But not everybody has the moving of the Spirit of the Lord. Not many, I should say. So what is it that we have? What does God look at in the church? Well, let's go look back at this old shadow. That's what it is. It's a shadow. And it will show us something about the real church today. The church in the wilderness, as it was called, or the tabernacle of meeting in the wilderness, was that shadow of the church today. And there was a building order. And God gave it to Moses in the Mount Sinai. The same time He was giving him the Ten Commandments, He gave him this pattern of exactly how this tabernacle could be put together. Now, this is not a real picture of the tabernacle. They didn't have cameras back then. Okay. All right. We can have fun in church. It's okay. That was the joke. This is a representation of what it could have looked like. But there was a courtyard. You can see the courtyard built. And then there was an altar of brass for animal sacrifice. And then you can see between the tent and the altar, there was a laver, a basin that held water for the priest to wash. And I want to just put this in here. Brother Andre and I were talking about this. But you can see the surrounding, and it was in the desert, the Sinai desert. That's where they were. Say, where did they get the water to put in the laver to wash in? Well, if you remember the story, God told Moses to strike the rock and water would come out. Then He said to speak to the rock. Moses, in frustration, struck the rock again. But 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says that rock followed them. It moved. It came with them wherever they went. And then it says something very interesting. That rock was Christ. That rock was Christ that followed them. And that water that came out of that rock, that water issued forth from Christ. Amen. That signifies the washing, the one baptism in the name of Jesus. The water, where did they get the water? Well, they went to the rock. Amen. How is it that we're baptized? We're baptized in Jesus' name, in water. And then He gives us spiritual water, and we become the real tabernacle. The real place that the Spirit of God dwells on this earth. That's how important it is. Every single part and piece of this. And that's the detail that you can get into. And that's just one piece of furniture. Praise the Lord. Somebody say everything points to Jesus. Everything points to Jesus. Then there was this structure. It was 10 cubits high. Cubit is the length of a forearm of a man. 10 cubits high, 10 cubits wide, 30 cubits long. And it was covered by badger skins. We read in Exodus 25, and I'm not going to read the whole list there, but there's a list of materials that would make this church in the wilderness. There was gold, silver, brass, precious metals, of course. Of course you need precious metals. This isn't just any old tent. This is the place where God's going to meet the people. You need all of that stuff. And then there were fine linens. There was wood that was overlaid with that gold. And then there was fine linens. The best of the best. Blue and purple and scarlet. Only the best for the house of the Lord. But just right in the middle of that list, also God told them to collect badger skins. These ruddy, blend in with the wilderness badger skins. And I can imagine Moses thinking, as God's telling him these things, gold, of course, yep, silver. And Moses is probably thinking where they're going to get this stuff too. Gold, silver, of course we need the precious stones for the ephod. Badger skins. What are we going to do with badger skins? Why would God want us to get badger skins? Well, can I just interject here that God does want your best, but He also wants your worst. And you might be thinking, well, what would God want with my worst parts? What would God want with these old habits that I have and these things that are not godly and not holy and they don't seem worthy of His attention? But God wants to take everything you have. He wants, when you come to the Lord, He wants you to give Him all. Don't try to hold back or try to keep back parts of you from God. Is that real surrender? Is that real sacrifice? No, not at all. And you can't hide it from God. He already knows about it. So just go ahead and bring all to Him. Bring everything to Him. He wants to change you. He wants to transform you. He wants to change your life. Amen. He wants to make you the place where He dwells. He wants to make you the real tabernacle. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Would you just give a time here of surrender to the Lord? Somebody say, God, take all of me. You've never refused a broken spirit, God. You've never refused a broken and a contrite heart, God. Oh, Lord Jesus, you've never shunned the broken, Lord God. You've never shunned, Lord Jesus, that which others refuse, Lord God. But you're willing to accept, praise the Lord, all of us, so that you can transform us, Lord Jesus. And I thank you for that, God. Lord, take all of me, all of me, all of me, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So this overview of the tabernacle that you're looking at here on behind me on the screen. From up on a hill, overlooking the outside of the tabernacle, it would have looked like a pile of discarded carcasses next to a smoldering altar and a place for the priest to wash. And you know, you could have easily walked by as you traveled and said, I don't even want to go there. That just looks like a mess. Imagine the blood for a second. Imagine the stench for a second. Imagine what looked like just ram skins dyed red and badger skins and just all thrown in a big pile. Could have easily just walked on by. But you know, God wasn't trying to make the real tabernacle a tourist attraction. No, if God was going for numbers, maybe he would have given Moses instructions to build a great big cathedral with a bunch of technology that would draw everybody in and spotlights that would shine to the sky. And he would have given them the blueprints for, you know, one of the great wonders of the world. But of all the wonders of the ancient world, this really was the greatest wonder. This really was the place. Amen. Think about the Colossus or the Colosseum or those old ancient wonders. But that's not where God chose to dwell. That's not where God chose to meet with His people. That's not where God chose to make an atonement for the souls of men and women and children. Amen. It's not where God chose to put a great nation. Hallelujah. It was this tabernacle, this ruddy tent, this place that could have easily been rejected by somebody that was on the way to bigger and better things. But my friend, there's nothing greater, nothing better than being able to be in the presence of God and know that your prayers are really answered. Know that God really does accept you. Know that God really does love you and care for you. Hallelujah. I know some of you are looking at me like, how could God love me? You don't understand how much God loves you. Amen. He gave His life for you. He shed His precious blood for you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, somebody looking from a distance up on a hill would have seen that altar and smelled the stench, the place of washing, and just said, there's nothing beautiful there. When people see the church from the outside and somebody say, that's me. Yeah, it's not this building. It's me. It's you. When people see the church from the outside, or they even venture into fellowship with the church, they don't automatically think that it's attractive or something that they want to be part of. In fact, many find the church repulsive. They just see the badger skins. They just see that ruddy exterior. But you know, even Jesus came. And when He did, the Bible says in Isaiah 53 that there was nothing about Him that was attractive. Because God wanted to be appreciated for more than just His stature or His good looks or His ability to lead or vocalize or have a great way of thinking or plan. Or He wasn't looking for the wisdom of man. He didn't want people following Him because of His flesh. He wanted them to follow Him because He was God in the flesh. He wanted them to know that behind the veil of His flesh was the glory and majesty of the Almighty God. Behind, through the veil, that is to say His flesh, amen, was the great Creator God. The Almighty God that formed heaven and earth. When people think of the church, they often never get past what it looks like. And maybe it's the odd way we act, or maybe it's the way we praise God. Maybe it's our desire to live holy and dress modestly. Maybe it's uncomfortable to be confronted with the truth because of their spiritual condition. And I have compassion. We have compassion as the church, just as Jesus had compassion. He looked over Israel and he began to weep. And he said, because they are like sheep having no shepherd. And the church has compassion on the lost. But the lost sometimes don't see the beauty beyond the rugged exterior. And even, I was talking to Brother Tim about this while back. But even Solomon's great temple, when you read about it, it was overlaid on the outside with cedar. Cedar. And anybody ever have worked with cedar deck? Brother Tony, I'm looking at you. What happens if you don't stain it and seal it, Brother Tony? It gets weathered. What color does it turn? Like a grayish color, right? Grayish green. Yeah. So think about, at first, Solomon's temple, the outside would have been, wow, that's stunning. But next to Solomon's house, it was a little tiny building. Yeah. Solomon made his palace bigger than he made the house of God. And not only would it have been a little tiny building next to his palace, but it would have been grayed and weathered within a few years. Maybe not even a year. So it wouldn't have been that attractive next to the palace. Think about that. Because the church doesn't look attractive. We don't have light shows. We don't have smoke machines. This isn't a rock concert. We're not here to entertain. No, we're here to open up God's Word and find the words of life. Amen. And have those words change us, transform us, move on us. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord is in this place. Amen. And when we begin to praise Him and when we begin to worship Him, that's where He chooses to set up and dwell. Amen. He wants to be part of a living church. Amen. A church that's been transformed by His Spirit. Amen. And changed. Amen. In their lives. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus, for the power of your Spirit, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for transforming my life, for changing me, Lord God, from the inside out, God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Just like those that would have seen that altar from outside. Sometimes people do come in, they feel convicted, they feel remorse, or they feel guilty, and they come, some come even to the altar to repent. And you could see the altar from the outside. And if they would have let you, you could have had access to it, but you could at least see the altar from the outside. Think about that. Because from the outside, God will let you go so far. You can come to an altar, cry big tears, and get touched by God. And God really does forgive you when you ask for forgiveness. And some may even venture even farther than that and want to get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank God every time somebody goes down in that life-changing name of Jesus. That's awesome. That's powerful. That's great. But you can see the altar from the outside. You can see the labor from the outside. But for some reason, and I'm not sure why, that's where many stop. That's where many stop. In fact, in many churches, they don't even believe in baptism. And I'm telling you the truth today. There's lots of buildings around here where they're having church, but when you need to be saved, they're not going to baptize you. I'm telling you the truth. Maybe they'll tell you, just repeat these words and say this prayer. Say the sinner's prayer. And that's where they stop. But that's not enough. All you're seeing is the badger skins. All you're seeing is right there, and you're not going in past the veil, past the first curtain, to see the glory that lies within the church of the living God. And all I would say to you today is don't stop there. Repentance and baptism in the name of Jesus, that's the beginning. There's more. Don't stop there. And just as you wouldn't see the glory of the tabernacle church unless you entered into that tent, you won't see the glory of the kingdom of God unless you enter into the structure that God has set up in the heavens. You must be fully born again to even begin to know or enter or understand the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Amen. There was a man of the Jews in John chapter 3 named Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. He had position, he had power, he had authority. He came to Jesus at night trying to be secret. And he began to compliment the Lord and began to say, "Well, Master, we know you're a teacher come from God, for no man could do these miracles that you do except God be with him." And Jesus just, I can imagine Jesus, time out. John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Think about that old tabernacle in the wilderness. Unless you're born again, you can't go past that first curtain. You can't see the beauty and the glory that lies beyond that tabernacle curtain or the veil. Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." You know, I can try to explain to you what it feels like to be in the presence of God and have His Spirit inside of you. I can try to talk to you about the wonderful things that God has given to us as the church. But if you have not been there past the threshold into the holy place, even though I would explain it to you all day long, you cannot see it. You cannot enter into it. You will not be able to grasp it until you are born again. You must enter into the Lord Jesus Christ. You must enter into the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to be in Christ. And His Spirit has to be in you. Colossians 1:27, and I threw this curveball. I didn't give this to Tim, but look at this. It says, "To whom would God make known what is the riches of His glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Hallelujah. There's something about having the Holy Ghost. Amen. That opens up the mystery of the Word of God. That opens up the riches that are in Christ. Amen. There's something that is about the Holy Ghost that makes you excited to be in the house of God. Excited to come to prayer. Excited to be in Bible study. Excited every opportunity we have to come into the house of God and be with other people that are part of the church. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So I just want to give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. For you, for the church. Amen. Hallelujah. For letting me rub shoulders with people that have like precious faith and that are filled with the Spirit. Amen. That love me. Praise the Lord. Because of the Spirit of God within me. Hallelujah. Amen. I feel so blessed and so humbled to be able to go to something like men's conference. And, you know, they keep asking me to play music with them. And my family's being blessed. And brother, let's call him Brother James Dyke. That's what Pastor Harvey called him. They asked him to pray at men's conference. And they asked Brother Jared to pray at men's conference. And that's so amazing that our church is able to have, our little church right here is able to have a big impact on things of God. And there was a pastor there from they call it a Kojak church, Church of God in Christ. He came up to me after the conference and he said, "First of all, God is telling me to tell you that your son is going to be a preacher." I said, I'm glad he's not in here because I don't want nobody to say this to James, okay? I've been purposely not putting pressure on him. But that your son's going to be a preacher, but Satan desires to have him to sift him as wheat. So you have a responsibility and you need to protect that boy. And he said, and if he ever preaches a little sermonette, you have your pastor call me because I'm going to stop what I'm doing and I'm going to come listen to him preach. I said, man, that's the kind of blessings and riches that God has opened to me. Me. Wow. The holy place. I want to describe the inside. If you could put that picture back up. I want to describe the inside. And you're probably going to have to close your eyes just to think about this. But the holy place was made of boards of acacia wood overlaid with gold, set in silver sockets. We heard about that at the men's conference, those sockets, that groundwork. In the inside, you couldn't see the badger skins anymore because the tapestry of curtains that lined the interior walls and ceiling were white goat skins. Then ram skins dyed red. And then over that, there was purple and red and scarlet linen and blue linen. The first area was called the holy place. It was a 10 by 20 cubit space. The first thing you would see is the table of fresh baked showbread. You could kind of smell it. Didn't smell like chili. I'm hungry too, guys. And there was plenty, plenty of sustenance in the tabernacle. In fact, David, when he was hungry, he knew to go to the house of God and eat the showbread. There was plenty of light shining in the tabernacle from that impressive candlestick, which was made of one piece of beaten gold and beautifully ornate. And the light never went out there. I'm not just talking about the tabernacle. I'm talking about the church. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. The light never went out there. Then you would have noticed the sweet smell that ascended from the altar of incense. The incense was a very special recipe that was commanded to never be used, made, or sold for any other reason. Beyond that veil was made of beautifully crafted, fine-twined linen of blue, purple, and scarlet, woven in one piece with the needlework of cherubims. Cherubims are angels that guard and protect the presence of God. Yes, we have angels that guard the church. Beyond the veil was the holiest of all. This was a smaller room, 10 by 10 cubits. The children of Israel were never allowed to approach or even to look into this place. And even if they were of the priesthood, they couldn't go in. See, the priesthood could go into the 10 by 20 room, but they were not allowed to approach the holiest of all. Because only the high priest was allowed. And even then, only on one designated day of atonement. That's an exclusivity. That, I'm sorry, but you can't come in. You can't come in. And I'm so glad that the church is not like that. The church of the living God is for whosoever will. Let him come and drink. Hallelujah. But let's go back. You would have been killed for trying to approach the holy place within the tabernacle. But if you got inside, you would be stunned at the beauty. It must have been a sight to behold. There was the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. Again, people from the outside would have never understood or experienced any of it. It was not available for them. Somebody say, not available. That's the place where God's presence meets with His people. Not available? That's the place where God changed his mind about whether or not to slay them or to keep them alive for another year. Not available for such an important place, for such an impactful place, for such a place of consequence. Not available? Wow. But the church of the living God is nothing like that. Amen. The church of the living God is a place, amen, where anyone and everyone can approach, amen, the presence of God and come boldly into the throne of grace to find grace and mercy in the time of need. Somebody say available. God's presence is available. Somebody say available. God's salvation is available. Somebody say available. God's deliverance is available. Say it again. God's healing is available. Amen. It's available here in this place today. Is the place where God has made available His salvation, His great, mighty covenant, amen, that He's made with us. It's through the veil. It's through the veil. Amen. That is to say His flesh. You can come boldly today. Amen. Why don't we stand together? Hallelujah. If you want that salvation, you want that atonement, you want that remission of sins, it's available today. Because instead of just one exclusive high priest, Jesus became the high priest that anyone and everyone can approach to. Amen. Hebrews 10:19 says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say His flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." I've got the real. I've got the real high priest. I've got the real water. I've got the real laver. I've got the real altar. And I've got the real holy place. Amen. All by getting the Holy Ghost. You're the real tabernacle of God. You're the real temple of God. You're the real place that God chose to set up and dwell. Amen. And it's all possible because of His great, great sacrifice. The real tabernacle, my friend, is when God fills you with His Spirit. Jesus made a way for us to enter into His presence so that His Spirit could enter into you and I. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 says it like this. "There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." What is that gift? What could He be talking about? Well, God poured out His Spirit for the first time on the day of Pentecost. He broke open the way and made His Spirit available to each and every one of us. If you've been filled by the Holy Ghost and spoken with other tongues, you know that God is in you. You know that's a miracle that only God can do. You know without a doubt you can take people to the place where God filled you. Amen. Some of you, that's right in that baptismal tank. Some of you, that's right here in the altar. Some of you, it's at a prayer meeting or on your knees in your room. Amen. Remember the place where God fills you with His Spirit. Actually, it's hard to forget Hard to forget when I was a little boy and I was sitting in the back of the church and there was an evangelist coming and he asked everybody, line up and we're going to pray. And my brother and I and another child in the church, it was my Sunday school teacher's son, we're sitting in the back just messing around. And Sister Kimes came back and she said, you boys need to stop messing around. Get in the line. And Mike, my brother, and Billy, they darted out the back door. And Sister Kimes kind of said, get up there. And I got in line. And that night, God filled me with His Spirit. And I became the real tabernacle of God. Amen. I just remember being prayed for and then I don't even know how long later, I was over on the right side of the church, amen, just after God having filled me with the Holy Ghost, amen, as a young child, amen, God changed my life. And it hasn't always been easy. There's been times that I've made errors and mistakes and bad choices, amen. Just like Pastor, I backslid as a teenager. Amen. But God kept bringing me back. Amen. And, you know, this church, Apostolic Lighthouse, was not always in this beautiful building. Brother Fred's probably the only other one that remembers. Actually, Pastor, you might have gone and visited Apostolic Lighthouse a couple of times. I'll describe it. There were only two rows of pews, about half this size. And the entire sanctuary was about that big. You remember that, Pastor? There was a wall here with a door, center aisle, and that platform that we drag in and out of the tent trailer, it's now cut up into pieces, was what we used as a platform. That's like that old tent in the wilderness, isn't it? But I remember the night that I went to Bible study, and Brother Mark Grantham came and picked me up, went to Bible study, and Sister Jennifer Ellsworth, just during the worship service, started to pray. And I recognized immediately the presence of God in that place. And she got so excited that she kind of ran out the back door and there was a room behind there and she was just worshiping and praising God. And I could hear her and God just kind of drove me up to that little altar area. And He said, that's it. You need to get right. You need to connect. You need to get back in the church. You need to be the real tabernacle. Amen. And I thank God that He changed my life that night. I thank God that He didn't refuse me. I thank God that He beckoned me back into His presence and transformed my life. Amen. It's never been the same. I'm so thankful that God doesn't reject the hurting and the broken, but salvation's available to every single person in this place today. The gift of Christ. The gift of Christ is the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 2:38, it's on the sign behind me on the wall. And it's above the wall on the screen. Thank you, Brother Tim. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I wonder if just for a few moments, and I know you're hungry, and I know you can smell, and I know you got a party planned, but for a few moments, can we allow this place to be transformed into the holy place? Can we step in past the veil into the presence of the Lord? Can you come forward and begin to worship the Lord and make yourself available to Him to fill you with His Spirit. Hallelujah. If you've already received the Holy Ghost, come on and connect again to the presence of God and let the Lord Jesus begin to work in your heart and in your life. Oh, we thank You, Jesus.